Hashtag SFM Talking Point.
Well, the Department of Health has urged South Africans to remain calm following Sunday's announcement that monkeypox is now a public health emergency of international concern. Dr. Tedros Adhanom Ghebreyesus, who is the director of the WHO, of course, making that particular announcement as he gave the latest figures, saying there were more than 16,000 cases in 75 countries. While the cases in South Africa still remain pretty low. Of course, it doesn't mean that our government doesn't need to be planning or, in fact, even implementing measures alongside the public health emergency that has been declared around monkeypox internationally. Dr. Fundile Nyati is Chief Executive Officer of Proactive Health Solutions. Dr. Nyati, good morning to you.
Good morning, Kathy, and good morning to all of your listeners.
Dr. Nyati, I'm just going to ask you to speak a little bit louder because I think we are having a bit of difficulty picking you up there. But things seem to have progressed quite rapidly when it comes to the point where first monkeypox is discovered and first reported versus where we are today.
Well, yes and no. I'll say yes and no in the sense that if we looked at, you know, that first 3 months in 2020, you know, of the emergence of COVID-19, and look at the numbers and the rapid growth there and compare with what we are seeing now, because the first cases of this monkeypox were discovered at the beginning of May. So we are just about 3 months into that, and we have not really reached even 30,000 in terms of numbers globally. So I would say yes, it is worrying that there is a rapid increase in numbers, but it is still dwarfed by what we saw during the first quarter of 2020.
I think perhaps I should clarify what I was saying. I meant more in terms of the responses that we're seeing to this disease internationally. I mean, the fact that it's been declared a public health emergency sounds quite serious.
Well, look, let me not downplay it. Let me not downplay it. Yes, you're very right. You know, the fact that WHO have now reached a point of actually saying it's a, you know, a public health emergency of international concern. Once again, I'll draw parallels with COVID-19. It took them about 2 months before they got to that point in February 2020, and only a month later, in March of 2020, did they then say it's actually a pandemic. So yes, the path that both of these diseases are following is very similar, and it is important because there have been some deaths that have just been reported in at least three countries from monkeypox. And so any disease that will lead to deaths, it is important that we take it seriously.
What do we know about the origins of this disease?
All right. You know, we are, I would say, you know, as humanity, we are a bit lucky in the sense that we are dealing with a known germ that has been well researched, you know, it's been well studied, and this is a distant relative of the smallpox virus, which was eradicated, you know, at the end of the 1970s. All right, so I think that's a positive fact that we're not dealing with a new germ that we don't know. It's been well researched. So what we know is that in 1958, I think in Denmark, this disease was first discovered, and it was discovered in monkeys. All right, and these monkeys had been imported from Central Africa. And then it took quite a number of years until 1970 when the first human case by the same virus was actually discovered in DRC. It was called Zaire those days. So that's when it was discovered as a first case in humans. And since then, it's been endemic in DRC, that is Central Africa, but also in West Africa. You know, when we say endemic, meaning the infections are there in a low grade, you know, level in that part of the world, but it did not really become an epidemic. But from time to time, people who had visited, Central Africa and West Africa would import that germ to their countries like the U.S. There was a major, outbreak in the U.S. in 2003, where about 70 people were affected from one case of somebody who had visited West Africa. So we know the germ that causes it. We know that this germ is... It comes from the family of the smallpox virus, and we know that also it's a germ that is not very easy to transmit from one person to other, you know, to the other. You know, if I compare it, for example, with the chickenpox that we normally see with children, and young adults, the level of infectiousness of the monkeypox virus isn't as much. It needs prolonged close contact with somebody who is symptomatic before one can actually be able to get infected. If you compare it with chickenpox, you don't need close contact with somebody with that for you to get a chickenpox. So the point I'm trying to make is that a lot is known. And we also know that it is not one of the highly transmittable kind of, diseases mm-hmm. from one person to the other. But what we need to know is that originally it originated from animals and through the interaction of human beings with animals, that's how it got transmitted to human beings. And now we are seeing human to human, transmission, endemic in Central Africa and West Africa and outbreaks outside of that part of the world.
I want to talk more about how it's transmitted in a moment, but just so that we cover this issue of the transmission. So are you saying that what we're seeing today is more a human-to-human transmission than we are seeing an animal-to-human transmission of monkeypox?
Exactly. What we are seeing today, the cases that have been discovered in over 70 countries since the beginning of May, what has been discovered is that it's people who, got exposed to others through close contact. What is surprising about it is that the overwhelming bulk of the cases are from what I would call the developed world, that is Europe, North America, Australia. It's seen in those communities more than you are seeing it in developed countries. Not that developed countries cannot get it, but we're seeing it more amongst those people. And what is peculiar about it also is that as much as anybody can get monkeypox, but because of certain networks, very interconnected networks of men who have sex with men, so the biggest number of people who've been diagnosed so far are in that community. But that does not mean it is a disease that is specifically, it is just the practices, the close contact. There were a number of events in Europe, festivals and stuff, and these outbreaks, they followed those festivals. And some of these festivals, where some of these, interconnected sexual communities were actually, predominant.
All right, we're going to continue the conversation with Dr. Nyati. He is with Proactive Health Solutions. He's the CEO there. We're talking about monkeypox. Of course, if you have any particular questions around this disease, clarification that you may have, you're more than welcome to dial in. 011-714-2006 is the number to dial this hour. On the WhatsApp line, 0614-104-107.
Kathimo Sasana on SAFM.
We continue focusing on monkeypox for our health feature today. Dr. Fundile Nyati is on the line. Dr. Nyati, I just want to go back to what seemed like sporadic reports of monkeypox, especially in parts of Europe, like you've mentioned, and in the US. I mean, when you look at the initial responses of these countries, they seem to be quite surprised that monkeypox was being discovered within their borders.
Indeed, you're very right, because like I said, you know, this disease has been endemic in Africa, basically West Africa and Central Africa, you know, and what they knew then was that it's only because if you visit that part of the world, are you at risk, you know, of having monkeypox. So what was surprising them is that people who have not necessarily traveled to Africa were actually presenting with monkeypox, and they were presenting in increasing numbers. So that was a surprise to them. Like I said, in the U.S., the last time they had a big outbreak of 70 people was in 2003. But it's only as they were more and more cases were being discovered, you know, in the developed world, they started to then look at what could be the reason. And they found that, you know, these festivals that were taking place as part of this, you know, spring and summer in Europe, were actually some of the events that were driving this emerging, you know, outbreak that is a multi-country outbreak.
Is that the reason for why there was this increase across these various countries?
Well, that is what is being put forward as the main driver of this spread, you know, human-to-human contact, you know, close human-to-human contact, whereby somebody, you know, who is intimate with another person who is symptomatic or even starting to have the typical rash, you know, of monkeypox. It was found amongst people like those, and that's what is seen as the key driver, you know, of the current monkeypox multi-country outbreak.
Well, let's get straight into then the signs and the symptoms. I think what has been widely publicized, of course, is the rash that many people who do have monkeypox would often have. But give us what one can expect in as far as the signs and symptoms of monkeypox.
Lovely. I think what is important, let's just go back to the transmission itself. So, you know, there are many ways by which one can get infected, but the key one that is being, you know, pointed out right now is close contact, you know, with the skin of somebody who is symptomatic. Now, if, for example, today I get exposure to somebody who is infected, it may take anything up to 2 weeks before I become symptomatic. That is, I start to show, you know, that I am infected. Now, so the first thing that normally happens is that you will have, you know, the usual signs of a viral infection, which is, you know, fever, that is raised temperature. And then within 3 days of that fever, you start noticing that you've got enlarged glands, especially under the chin, under the chin and in other parts of the body. We call that lymph adenopathy. And then you will then start to have this typical rash that starts on the face and rapidly progresses throughout the body, and it includes the palms and the soles, you know, of one's feet. And when you look at this rash, it starts as just a reddish, you know, what we call it papular kind of rash. But in no time, it grows and it becomes vesicular. That is, you've got vesicles that have got, you know, transparent water. And after that, that becomes like, you know, we call it pustula, because then that clear water changes and becomes like pus. And then those lesions, they dry up. So when you see somebody with monkeypox, they will have these skin lesions at different stages, and they are infectious for as long as those lesions are still there. The only time that they are no longer infectious is when they have dried up and all of those scales have fallen off. And that can take anything between 2 weeks and 4 weeks of actual illness. And so the typical defining feature of monkeypox infection is this, you know, maculopapular, vesicular, and pustular, you know, rash that can take anything from 2 weeks to 4 weeks. But like I said, there can be systemic, you know, issues like, you know, raised in temperature, tiredness, headache, but the key thing is that rash.
Mm. And just to be clear, this is a rash that can take place anywhere on the body and not just around one's genitals or private areas.
Yes, exactly. You know, if people can just reflect back, I keep on using chickenpox words, that's the closest kind of disease that people can relate to. So, you know, when you've got chickenpox, you've got that rash that has got, you know, vesicles, that is, they've got water, and it will normally start around the face and it spreads throughout the body. And this includes the inner lining of the mouth, and it also includes, you know, the palms and the soles of one's feet. So totally different from a rash that is just around the genital organs, of which, you know, other viruses normally make. So this one is a generalized body rash.
We're in conversation with Dr. Fundile Nyathi, and part of the reason why I ask that question, Dr. Nyathi, is because some people have also been asking questions about whether monkeypox is an STI, so a sexually transmitted illness or not.
Well, I think the answer is that it is not a sexually transmitted a disease. However, having said that, you know, if you've got, you know, two people who are intimate and one of them has got the sores, that can expose the next person to those infected body fluids, and therefore they get monkeypox, but not necessarily because it is sexually transmitted, but it is that close contact with the infected body fluids that is causing that. So it is not classified as an STD, and it is very important for us to really clarify that, because there is already a narrative that is creating a lot of stigmatization and discrimination, especially of people who, you know, like I mentioned earlier, the men who have sex with men. It has been found more in that group, but not necessarily that it is sexually transmitted in that sense.
All right.
But it is because of how they do things. Yeah.
All right. We're going to continue the conversation with Dr. Nyathi. For now, it's 11:30. Mpo is standing by with your latest headlines.
Cathy Mohlahlana on SAFM.
Of course, I'll be taking your calls, 011-714-2006. Any particular questions you may want answered which concern monkeypox, understanding that particular disease better, on the WhatsApp line, you can send your voice notes to 0614-104-107. Dr. Fundile Nyathi is the one fielding our questions this morning. Dr. Nyathi, just on the issue of demographic, right, is there particular reason outside of what you have identified, that there's been a high category of men who have sex with other men who have been identified as having monkeypox? Is there a reason, when we look at the numbers, what is the infection rate amongst women?
Look, like I said earlier, anybody can be, you know, infected with monkeypox. Having said that, in the current outbreak, it's been found more, disproportionately more, in the group of people who are males who have sex with other males. However, other people who are not in that category are also infected as well, have been infected. So it does not only infect you know, the MSM group, but anybody can be infected if they've had close contact with somebody who is infected with monkeypox.
All right. Sheikh in Durban, good morning.
Good morning, Kathy. Good morning to the listeners, and good morning to that doctor. I want
good
to
morning.
Commend the doctor in his statements that he made regarding close contact, human contact. You know, people like this should be on radio very often when it comes to diseases and sickness, because they give, from what I heard, he's been talking the truth and he's giving the people absolute fantastic information. This is what we require, people like this on radio, not the COVID ones, because I sit with people every day from 2020, 3 to 6 people close in my truck. We are squashed. And I never got COVID. I never got a flu. It's gone 2022 now. The COVID is over, so, sort of finished. But these are the people that we need to get on radio to inform the public regarding diseases and sicknesses. Thank you very much. I commend that doctor. Thank you, doctor.
Oh, all right, thank Sheikh, you very much. Is that all you have to say?
Yeah.
All right.
Yes, that's correct. Thank you very
all right,
much.
No problem, yeah. Sheikh. Thanks for that. In Cape Town, Dagatayo, good morning.
Good morning, Katie. I think the doctor did elaborate everything clear to us. So what I'm going to ask now is, Katie, I heard there's an uproar. I think it's coming from us, Africans. If doctor can maybe answer me, why is it concerning us when this thing is called monkeypox? Are we maybe monkeys? I don't want to sound politically, but I heard now there's a concern from the Africans. They said this thing must be changed. It mustn't be called monkeypox. Are we really, or are we monkeys? I'm sorry to be like maybe out of order.
Yeah.
Thank you, Katie. I think that's the only thing I'm concerned about.
All right. Can I answer?
Yes, yes, Dr. Nyati, go ahead.
All right. Now, I can hear what the gentleman is saying from Cape Town. Look, I'll go back to say this disease was discovered for the first time in the history in 1958. And the animal that had this was a monkey. Hence, it was then said to be a monkey pox disease. He is right, though, that, you know, over the recent past, there has been calls to say we need to give names that will not lead to any form of stigmatization. And so, yes, there's an international committee that is looking at the naming of diseases and viruses. And that committee is looking at actually coming up with a new name that will not lead to, you know, stigmatization. And the issue about monkeys and stuff, you know, for example, in places like Europe, even during soccer matches, you will find that, you know, some of the, I would say, racist people in Europe, when there is a black player from Africa who is playing, they will taunt them and, you know, make monkey noises. So it is such things, you know, the racism and other forms of stigmatization that are problematic in how viruses were named in the past. So, yes, in the near future, there will be a different way of naming these diseases. Mm. And maybe then people like him will be less concerned, because now there won't be that subtle racism, you know, where it's more like, oh, because it was endemic in Africa, anyway, you know, Africans and monkeys, you know, connection. So it is something that is being attended to. And sooner or later, we will actually have new names for some of these zoonoses, that is, diseases that originated in animals that are now spreading between humans and humans.
Of course, one of the big questions that people often ask is around prevention of infection, right? And
yes,
this is one of those diseases that I wonder, how does one prevent infection from monkeypox?
Right. Remember earlier we said the main transmission is now human to human. But from time to time, you still do get animal to human. For example, people will go on adventure trips, you know, to Central Africa and West Africa, and sometimes they, you know, eat some of these exotic, you know, mammals or, you know, that are in those areas, you know, some monkeys or even rodents. They may be exposed to that infection, but it is not the main way of transmission of the current outbreak. The current outbreak is human to human. And so what we need to do to prevent this is really to, you know, avoid that close contact with people who are symptomatic. And the beautiful thing about this one, unlike with COVID, where even before a person is symptomatic, you could, you know, get infected. The people with monkeypox, they are infectious once they are symptomatic, meaning a person will already be complaining of a headache, fever, and the rash will be coming through. So when you have somebody like that, then you avoid close contact with that person. And in fact, that person gets to be isolated for the duration, you know, of them, you know, having those skin lesions. And if you are a health worker or somebody, a family member who is attending to that family member, then obviously protection, you know, masking up, you know, goggles, very, very important, so that those body fluids can actually cannot get to infect you. So that is very, very important. So masking, you know, also avoiding, contact with clothes that were worn by that person, because in those clothes there are some, you know, fluids that contain the virus, and if you you know, you are in contact with those, they can actually, you know, spread that infection to you.
So Dr. Nyati, when we talk about this contact, right? Does it include things like shaking somebody's hand who has monkeypox, but you're not aware of the fact that they have monkeypox, sitting next to somebody, whether it's on public transport, maybe somewhere in a park? Again, you might not be aware of the fact that this person actually has monkeypox. Can it be transmitted in that kind of close contact?
It definitely can be transmitted. Remember, I mentioned that one of the key features is that you get these typical rash even on the, you know, palms of your hands and the soles of your feet. So if somebody who already has these lesions on their hands, and then maybe there is also a break in your own skin, and you actually do a handshake, you can get infected that way. But the important thing is that a person who is symptomatic will already be knowing that they have got the disease, unlike with COVID-19. And therefore, really, it's about, you know, being observant, but also those people who are infected to take responsibility to alert others that I am going through this, and so please, you know, no handshake or whatever. So it's important, the responsibility on the person who's infected, but also us. You know, some of the things we learned during COVID-19 in terms of, you know, hygiene are actually applicable here as well. You know, disinfecting your hands and avoiding handshakes, masking up, because there is a small possibility of getting infected through what we call droplet spread, which is, you know, something that was common with COVID-19, but it is not the main form of transmission when it comes to, you know, monkeypox. So some of those good things we did for COVID-19, we should continue, you know, even social distancing, you know, it is something that we should actually practice, not only for, you know, COVID-19, but also to prevent things like monkeypox.
All right, let me go to Anonymous in the Northwest. Good morning.
Good morning, how are you?
I'm well, thank you.
Thank you for the information. It's very much enlightening. But there is my concern and a question at the same time, Kate. And good morning to the good doctor there.
Good morning.
Kate, look, the doctor knows he knows me from South Africa. Say, for example, it's me. I'm having a very much unfaithful partner. She goes around and have a intimate relationship with a male person who, in fact, 2-3 days ago was involved with another male person. And obviously, my woman will never tell me what happened. So now she comes home. We share the linen. We become intimate. And then we play with the kids in the house. What is the consequences of such behavior? Will it spread like the doctor is saying? We go around and book venues when we go out on business trips. Is it like COVID when I get into a room whereby the previous people were infected with this thing? How long does one take to recognize that I am actually having this thing? How long will I recognize myself that now I'm having a problem with this? And how long does it take? So thank you very much, doctor. I was asking that if my partner was sleeping around and eventually get involved with a male-to-male person there, she will never tell me as a husband or a wife or a boyfriend. And she's a female partner for that matter. So am I at high risk here also?
Well, I think let me answer that. One of the reasons for this rapid spread in Europe and North America amongst that group that is called the MSM, men who have sex with men, is the level of promiscuity and the interconnectedness within that group. But we also know that promiscuity is not limited to that sexual group. Even people who are, heterosexuals, we see a lot of promiscuity there, even here in South Africa. But you also got a group of people, who are also called bisexuals, who actually sleep with, a male and females. So I think let's not get obsessed with the type of the sexual practice. What we need to say is that if somebody has got close contact with somebody who is infected, they are at risk. Now, the scenario that he put forward is of his partner having intercourse with somebody who may have monkeypox. Now, if that person gets infected, it would take at least about 14 to 21 days before she can show that she is symptomatic. For him, it would then again be another, week to 3 weeks before he gets infected, and so close contact with somebody who is symptomatic is what we need to avoid. And yes, even kids can get affected. And sometimes it does get a bit, more aggressive, in kids or people who have got an immune weakness or they are undernourished.
Let me quickly take Mike in Mafikeng. Mike, good morning.
Oh, thank you. Good morning, good people.
Doctor, good morning.
Let me ask this. Do you foresee this monkeypox story also being treated like COVID-19, whereby countries will be forced to apply economic damaging lockdowns and purposely so, so that the economies of the country can collapse and then there should be chaos? Do you foresee this also going to the point of countries introducing lockdowns, social distancing, masking? And because now in America, that so-called Dr. Fauci, that fake scientist, Fauci, he said monkeypox is predominantly spread between, gay people. And he said specifically like so. Now, that's my question, whether will it go to that point of the lockdowns? Because I suspect these people now, they release the viruses on people from the laboratories. Can you help me with it?
All right. I think the last part, I won't entertain the last part because that's about conspiracy theories. I do not personally, envisage a situation where we'll get to extreme lockdowns as a result of monkeypox. And one of the reasons is because I mentioned that it's a very poorly transmitted disease that requires prolonged close contact with an infected person who is symptomatic. Now, the ones that are more problematic, COVID-19 was largely transmitted through, the respiratory system, coughing, sneezing, and that was the main form of transmission. It is not the main form of transmission in this case. So, going back to level 5, 4, 3, and economic restrictions, it's very, very unlikely. And as we speak in South Africa, we do not have more than 5 cases. I think last time I checked, there were only about 3 cases. So really, and we have a very good surveillance system in South Africa. The NICD, National Institute Communicable Diseases, yes, NICD, is actually, monitoring this very well. Cases that are identified, they do contact tracing, and at this moment, we are on top of it as a country. And, I do not foresee us having a problem like we did with COVID-19. So I think we should relax. However, let's not drop our guards. If you see somebody with a suspicious rash, please, even if they have not told you that they are infected, just be very, very careful. Avoid that close contact.
All right, we're going to continue the conversation with Dr. Nyati. I also realized, Dr. Nyati, we actually didn't talk about the medical diagnosis for monkeypox and also the treatment that is available. So we'll try and touch on that and take perhaps one or two more callers on the other side of this break.
No problem.
SAFM 104 to 107 nationwide. Hashtag SAFM Talking Point.
All right, so we're going to continue with our health talk. We've been focusing on monkeypox. Dr. Fundile Nyati is our guest for this hour. So, Dr. Nyati, quickly, medical diagnosis for monkeypox.
All right. When you go to see a doctor, the first thing the doctor will ask you is what you call your medical history. That will include your travel history and things like that. So now, because of this outbreak, it's important for healthcare professionals, first contact doctors, to actually have a high index of suspicion. So the first thing that would make them to be suspicious is when they are examining you and they see this typical rash on your face, and throughout the body with lesions at different stages of development, with the rash on the soles and the palms of your feet, with the enlarged, glands, below the chin, in the axillary area, in the inguinal area. That would be the first thing that makes them too suspicious, together with other symptoms, like headache and the temperature. The second thing, once they are suspicious of that, and maybe there is a travel history as well, that would add to that. But the definitive, diagnosis would then be done, by taking swabs of the pharyngeal area, just like when we do with COVID-19, taking that to the lab, and the same PCR test that is done for COVID-19 to isolate this can actually be done as well. So that's one way. Also, taking skin biopsies of those lesions, sending that to the lab, to be cultured, can also be able to identify that. But also there are certain smears that can also be done just to differentiate it, you know, to other, you know, diseases that may cause a similar thing. So basically the point is there are tests that are available to be done to actually confirm that this indeed was the monkey pox. And like I said, NICD is that institution in South Africa that will make that definitive diagnosis, especially because the numbers are still low. Later on, maybe commercial labs can actually do that as well. But for now, NICD will be the people that do that. And in terms of treatment, generally the treatment is what we call supportive or symptomatic treatment. So this is treatment that is not necessarily directed at the germ itself, but to deal with whatever that we are presenting with in terms of symptoms. If the sores are getting, you know, septic, we give you antibiotics for that. If you are dehydrated, we give you fluids. You know, so we deal with it symptomatically. Very few people actually require treatment. But the other good news is that because this is not a new germ, we you know, we are able to go back to, for example, the vaccine that was developed for smallpox many decades ago. That vaccine can be used to actually prevent the infection even after exposure. So you know, so post exposure kind of vaccination. But there are also antivirals that are out there that are given to people who have been confirmed to have this diagnosis. So in Europe, they have got these antivirals that are specific to monkeypox and also these vaccines. But here in South Africa, we have not yet, you know, procured those, I think because of the numbers. But I guess if the numbers can go up, then the country will have to procure those antivirals and also the vaccine that are available and are effective. And some of the people who are 50 and above, you know, who did get the smallpox vaccination in the 70s, they still have some level of protection against monkeypox. But obviously, the younger people who never had exposure to that smallpox vaccine would need to be vaccinated. But these are more people who are at high risk.
All right. Let me take some of the WhatsApp voice notes that we've had come through for you, Dr. Nati.
This is Derek from Mhlanga. Talking about monkeypox, I'd just like to know if the smallpox vaccination that most of us have had is effective against monkeypox, or are they working on another vaccination specific for monkeypox? And what or how prevalent is it? Is it caught through droplet infection? Thank you.
Right. I've already answered that by saying because monkeypox virus comes from the same family, you know, or a relative of the smallpox that used to cause havoc, that caused a lot of deaths. So a vaccine for smallpox, especially those people who were vaccinated in the 70s, who are now in their 50s and above, they have some protection against monkeypox. So, but these are two different viruses, but they come from the broad family of pox viruses.
Morning, Kathy. Yeah, man, I just want to ask the doctor there. I hear that diseases that are in animals coming to people. Now, I have a problem here. Can you please explain, in South Africa, do we have labs where we do this kind of functional? Because some of the of these diseases are intentionally spread to people because they want to test them, like this corona. People denied that it was from a lab, but we all know what happened. So can the doctor tell us that in South Africa, do we have labs, that bio labs that do that? Because we happen to hear that in Ukraine, they are there. Thank you. Vian in Orange Farm.
Well, I think the answer there is, you know, South Africa is one of the leading countries, certainly in this continent, in terms of research, you know, of various types of diseases. And yes, in some laboratories, there are tests that are done in animals. But I don't want to feed into the conspiracy theory that, you know, these people work in the labs. From time to time, they release these to society. No, I don't want to do that. I've got no evidence of something like that, and there hasn't been any evidence that I've come across that supports that. But yes, we do have laboratories, but there are strict you know, protocols on how to do some of these research on animals. So I am not aware of anything that could have been released for the sake of just causing havoc in communities.
All right, Dr. Fundile Nyati, let me thank you so much for coming onto the show today and really for clarifying all of the issues around monkeypox.